When we think of grace, we think of the amazing grace of the Lord. We think of our God. We think of the greatness of our God and the wonderful things that He is able to do for us. And He is how great Thou art. And one day we will bow in humble adoration. We'll thank Him for giving us opportunity to hear the gospel and then to receive that and to live for Him. Tonight, if you would, take your scriptures and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I want to sort of continue on with some of the thoughts of this morning. I did not get finished. My time I knew would run out, and so I didn't get finished with everything I wanted to give, but I want to do that tonight along with some other things that would be added to that. We were dealing with the generations that have been upon the primarily in our country that we dealt with, the generation of the first generation, second generation, and third generation. We looked at some things in the Old Testament. Certainly is very prevalent there, those generations, how they deteriorated and how they became very sinful in some areas and finally shut the house of the Lord and finally lost a country. And the results of what we do sometimes is more damaging than we might think it would be. And in Matthew chapter 7 tonight, I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture. And it really has nothing to do with generations. It has nothing to do with what we were dealing with this morning, other than this is the end result of what takes place as we continue to deteriorate away from the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24. If you have a Scofield Bible, you'll see up above that's two foundations. We know these this story very well. It's found here and also in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. But primarily tonight we'll look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24 through 29. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I can imagine when they heard the Lord speak, it was not anything like what they had heard before. When they heard the scribes speak, they probably heard a very monolithic tone, and they probably very very solemn in their thoughts and their words. But Jesus came, and the Bible says he preached, and he preached unto them. Tells here they were astonished at his doctrine, or they were astonished at his teaching. Doctrine is nothing more than what you believe and the teaching that comes from that. And here tonight we have these two foundations, or these two types of homes that are built. Now, in this short little chapter, there are many comparisons that the Lord makes, and he is giving these comparisons to these folks that are astonished at his words. You find in verses 13 and 14 in that area, you'll find that there are two trails that are discussed. There is the straight or the narrow way, and then there is the broad way. And so there's two comparisons there that are made between the straight gate and the broad way. The straight gate, there's few that go in. The broad way, there's many that go through that. And the Lord was teaching them of the importance of right teaching. Then in verse number 17 through 20, in that area, You find there are two trees that the Lord discusses and gives to them. One's a good tree, one's a corrupt tree. One brings forth fruit, one doesn't do anything at all. And the Lord teaches them with that comparison and that illustration of the trees. Then in verse number 21 through 23, you have two testimonies that are discussed. Doing God's will or departing from God's will. Now, primarily this morning, we were dealing with departing from the known way of the Lord. And gradually, those things do not happen overnight. We are where we are tonight in 2018. We didn't wake up January the 1st and everything had changed. It's been a process going on for a long time. As we looked at these times that we gave to you this morning, those generations, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, you can take any particular time frame and you can see that there is a degeneration going on in each one of them. And so every one of them shows a departure from total truth. You may have a little bit of truth, you may have a whole lot of truth, and then you find out down at the end of it you don't have any truth at all because it's just been eroded away by different thoughts and ideas. Well, here tonight we look at these, if we would, we'd have time to look at those different comparisons that the Lord makes, and one is always a good way, and one's always an end result, which is a bad way. Now, the one we want to deal with tonight is this, the tale that is discussed between two houses or two foundation, two homes, whatever you might want to call that, found in these verses that we read in verse 24 through 29. I believe one of them is a result of truth and righteousness, and one of them is a result of deteriorating the truth of God's Word, and the end result of that is the fall of that house. And so tonight I want to look at these things. He culminates his discourse here with these two homes. His listeners have listened to these things that have been said, and he gives them the illustration of two foundations, two buildings, two people, building a house, and the result of the storms that come. It's a very well-known fact that storms come. We have it physically. Every spring, we know that the storms will arise. We know that the weather will change, and the movement of the different things in the atmosphere sometimes brings about a very strong storm, especially in our area and other areas of the country as it changes. And so the storms do come. The winds do blow, and the problems do arise, and how we end up, how we where we find ourselves when it's all over, is determined by what we have built upon in our life, whether it be in a physical way or in a spiritual way. It is determined by what materials we use, and in this case, what foundation that we build upon. You'll notice in this comparison here, that the weather is the same. There's two foundations, two homes, or two houses that have been built, but the weather is the same for both of them. The Bible says in both of these instances that the rain descended, the rains came. And it also says that the floods came to both of them. It also tells us that the winds blew, and the winds blew against them. So you have the weather that's the same, you have the water that's the same, and you have the wind that is the same against these two structures that have been built. These structures may have looked pretty close to similar. Sometimes you can ride around in different areas of a city, and you'll find that the structures all look the same because the same builder built them, and he had the same blueprint, so he used it over and over and over again, and everything in that area looks exactly the same, built the same way, and looks okay. But you also find that sometimes they cut corners on some of them, and they don't last as well as maybe some of the others. But tonight I want us to look upon these two homes or these two houses that are standing there, as a monument to the builder, as a monument to maybe a family that has given its time and now able to build a house, and standing there undergoing the stresses and the storms of life. And whatever generation we may find ourselves in, the stress and the storm comes to each one. And the end result will be, or what happens is a end result of how we build upon what the Lord has given to us. Now in verse number 24, we have these verses that we read. In verse number 24, there was a, that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise builder. You read on down a little farther, you'll find that he'll liken him also to a foolish individual. So the founders of these two homes, or the patriarchs, we might call them, or the leaders of these two homes, they have their hearing. They hear the same thing. They have the same message. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And so now he's referring back to those two ways, the broad way, the straight way, talking about the good tree and the wicked, or the corrupt tree, talking about God's will or man's will. Whoever hears these, and if they follow his word, they're like a man that builds his house upon a solid foundation. They are hearing the same story. They are hearing the same message. They both hear, they're both told, they're both warned of the possibilities of troubles in the weather, and they both act upon what they hear. America tonight is acting upon what it's has heard, and it is hearing. And some of the actions are very weak, and some of the actions are very strong. And the generations that are around us are hearing maybe the same message that we heard, but they're not hearing it the same way. Doesn't have the same result as it did unto us. So these men were hearing, and these folks were taking heed or not taking heed to the message that was given. The Bible says in verse 24 and verse number 26, he says, if you hear my words and doeth them, or if you hear my words and doeth them not, one is likened to a wise man, one is likened unto a foolish man. One has some wisdom because he hearkens to the word of God. He has some wisdom because he listens and takes heed to the message that's given, and then he acts upon that message. And by the way, that's what we should all do, act accordingly to the message that God has given to us. But then this other man, he hears the same message. Isn't it a strange thing that people in the same church, or people in the same homes even, can hear the same message, be taught the same thing, and they go opposite ways? It's amazing how that takes place. And it's not because they didn't hear the same thing. It's not because they wasn't given the same opportunity. The reason is because one is wise and one is maybe not so wise. But one follows truth and one follows desires of their heart. So these two foundations, there's nothing said of these men in the past. There's nothing said concerning their present other than they're building a house. The only thing that Christ is concerned about is the prospect of what's going to happen in the end. He gives us the story. And the one stands and one falls. And so he is telling us what's going to happen. I believe we have a scriptures tonight. I believe we have the word of God tonight that tells us very plainly what's going to happen in this world in which we live. We were talking earlier out front about the coming of the Lord. Brother George said, I hope it comes or after we get started in church and get everything going, we just end up in heaven. I said, well, if it's going to be that, let's just go now, and I won't have to go through these notes that I've got. Let's just go now. And so we have the message. We have the word of God, and we are to not only to hear it, but we're to take heed unto that, because the Lord is interested, maybe not in our past as much as we are. He may be not as interested in our present as maybe we are, but the Lord sure is interested in our future or our prospect. And he's done everything that is possible to make our future bright. He's done everything possible to make us have a home in heaven. but it's according to our hearing and taking heed to what is done, what is given to us. And so we find we find here in these verses the folks and the founders of the homes. These two people that are building, and they've decided what they're going to do. They've decided how they're going to build. They've heard the message. The Lord said, if you hear it, you'll be a wise man. If you disbelieve it, you'll be a foolish man. And he likens it unto building a home or to build a house either upon a rock or upon a sand dune. And so we have not only the founders, but we have the foundations. And the foundation is very important of any building. If anybody's ever built, you know that's where you start. And that will determine what kind of product you have in the end is the foundation. It's the substance of which we build upon. I can remember before they poured a footer around the building, they'd go in and dig down and they'd set some boulders underneath the house and they'd build upon those boulders or they'd build upon those rocks that are scattered throughout the subfloor underneath. And all those older homes, you could look through and you could see those pillars that would be there that would hold up the structure of the home. Now, if one of those structures began to go down, if one of those pillars began to falter, then you had a problem in the floor, you had a problem in the walls, you had a problem with windows, had a problem with doors. I didn't realize for a long time just how important it is to have things level and have things plumb. And if you don't have your wall up and down right, your door is not going to hang right. It's not going to work right. It's going to drag. It's going to look like this, like some of ours around here. We'll not go into that. But there'll be those areas and those places where it's just substandard. It's not what it should be. And so the Lord gives the story here concerning these foundations. There's the stone built upon verse 24, which built his house upon a rock. Of course, we know the rock is a mass of stone, and here it's representing, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately having a home built upon him, built upon the standards of the Word of God. And that is a immovable boulder. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, you're just a little small stone in the scheme of things." He said, "Upon this rock," pointing to himself, he said, "I will build my church." I'm glad this afternoon that the house of God, the church of God, I'm not talking about a building as we have here, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints of God, we are built upon the foundation of none other than Jesus Christ. The church of the Lord is not built upon Peter, it's built upon the Son of God. It's not built upon some man, it's built upon the man, Christ Jesus. And he said, "Peter, you're a small stone," and the word he used there means just a pebble. "Peter, you're not that important maybe as you think you are. You're just a small stone." He said, "But I'm the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Then he gives a promise to the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we find that there's importance here in the stone or in the foundation. One of these men built upon stone, one built upon sand. He did not take heed to what he had heard. There had been the broad way, the narrow way. There had been the good tree, the bad tree. There had been the good testimony, the bad testimony. He didn't take heed to that, and so he goes out and he builds his house upon the sand. Now that's foolish. No wonder the Lord says he's a foolish man. If you go out here in this yard and you start to build a building and you just sit on top of the ground, the first winter comes through and the movement of the ground is going to destroy and deteriorate that building to the point you cannot even use it. And so this man, he builds his house upon the sand. Why, even the most uneducated person ought to understand you got to have something firm to build upon. You got to have a foundation. But he was more interested maybe in where it was, or maybe he's more interested in how it looked. Whatever it was, he built his house upon the sand. So that's their placement. One's on a rock, one's on sand. Now notice here the the elements that come. They fight the same elements. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the houses. Same words. The wind and the problems arose and the rain came, the floods came. But the one that was founded upon rock stood firm. Thank God tonight we can stand firm in our generation, which we can stand firm in the things of the Lord because we are built upon the rock, which is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fighting of the elements was the same, had the same identical wording here with these two homes or these two houses. But the fighting of the elements brings about a falling to the elements because of weakness, because of deterioration. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat upon that house that was built on the sand. And what does the Bible say? It says, and it fell. It didn't just stand there and shudder. It fell. And then the Lord puts a little bit extra there and says, and great was the fall of it. It was more than just a falling. It was more than just a collapse. It was a great fall or a great collapse. I dare say tonight, people that die without Jesus Christ, their house falls and it's a great fall. People that die without the Lord, they will fall under the sin of life and the load that comes upon them and never trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the winds will come and the storms will arise and the floods will come and the storms will come at us both the same way. But some will stand and some will fall, and great is the fall of that. So they fight the same elements, but they fall to the same elements, simply because something has deteriorated, simply because it's not as strong as it should have been. The foolish builder didn't consider what lay ahead. He didn't consider what was out there in the future. He lived for right now. He lived for, my house looks as good as his house. He lives for the maybe the passers-by to say, boy, your house looks good too. You're built on different places and you have different foundations, but you know what, fella? Your house looks as good as that other fellow that dug down and found the rock and built his house there. And they don't consider the end result. They don't consider what lies ahead. One built for looks while the other may be built for location. He did it because he desired. Someone said there's three important things when you're planning to purchase or to build a house. Those three important things are location, location, location. And that may be true. But the first thing you better find out, that's why we have building inspectors. That's why we have house inspectors. If you buy a house, you want to make sure that house is right. You want to make sure that the floors are not half rotten because of substandard work. Or you want to make sure that the drainage is right around it. And therefore, we have to have inspectors to prove that. And you know why we have to have inspectors? Because some people are crooks. You have to have inspectors because some people don't live up to the standard they ought to. And they're not going to do it unless somebody makes them do that. Well, the Lord gives us a standard. And if we don't live up to that, then we're going to find out that we're going to be wanting in the end. We place, we plan, we build, and we try to put it on a right foundation. Jesus Christ, thank God, the old song, the song says, on the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad tonight my Lord is the foundation. He's the true one. But folks that build their lives, and I think of all these folks that are living today that know nothing about God, talk about that third generation people there this morning. They have no idea about the Lord. And they're building a life. They're building their things on sinking sand. They'll face the floods. They'll face the winds. They'll face the struggles of the day. And that's why they go out and sometimes they kill themselves. They commit suicide because they see their house sinking. They see their lives deteriorating. They see everything not going as planned. But we build on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. then he helps us to do that. So we find the founders are these men that are building. The foundation is either stone or sand. And we've already touched upon this, but there's a finality. It is the results. One is standing, one is shattered. So many lives tonight without Christ. So many people die without the Lord, and their lives are shattered. They have given their lives for maybe their jobs, never give God any attention, never give God any thought. They've given their lives for the finances and the stability that they desire, and they've done well by themselves. They've done well by their families. They have provided. They have done all those things, but they've done it at the expense of their house. They've done it at the expense of their life without having a foundation to build upon. So the results here is one stands and one falls. The rewards here is one man has his house still standing, and the other man maybe might even have lost his life, because great is the fall of it. And the Lord says here, when Jesus had ended these sayings, they were astonished at his doctrine. They'd never heard anything like that. They'd never heard the message that the Lord had given them. And the Bible says that he taught as one having authority. But he does have authority. All power, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. He tells the church, and so therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the authority that we move upon. So Christ here gives us this, these two foundations and these two ways of life. And these struggles that come because of life. Now, when we think about the struggles, when we think about what's taking place, there is an end result of what I dealt with this morning in our generation. It's not going to, you see, the skeptics say, where's the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they always have been. I'll tell you what, there's coming a time when all things are not going to continue as they have been. There is a stopping point. There is a judgment time. There is a tallying up the score, and you're going to be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the Lord. I believe God is going to judge our nation. I believe God maybe is already judging. I really, personally, this is me personally, nobody has to accept it or believe it, but I believe we are under a portion of the judgment of God in our country. We have gone so far away. Our generation has turned its back upon the law of the Lord. I believe God will judge America for her rejection of biblical law, the biblical standards that are given here. As I said this morning, there are some people that would say, it matters what the Lord thinks, but what do you think? And then it comes down to the point that it doesn't matter what we think, we're going to do what we want to do. And the end result of that is the judgment of the Lord upon a particular group of people. If God would judge Israel, God will judge America. If God would judge Sodom and Gomorrah, he will judge America, because our God changes not. He's always the same. He does not move. Our courts have ruled against God, the God of heaven, time and time again in their wicked decision. Somebody says, well, the Supreme Court will hear that and surely they'll make a right choice. They haven't made a right choice in a long time, because their minds are stayed upon wrong things. They're not the Supreme Court. They may be supreme in our country, but they're not supreme. Our God is supreme. And when he makes a law, there's nobody that can overrule that. And then when they do overrule that, then they're going to suffer the fall of their house. They're going to suffer the destruction of their ideology, and they're going to suffer great law, great is the fall of it. And so God is going to judge America for her rejection of biblical law. You know, for majority, I'm going to go out on a limb and say majority of Christians fight against biblical law. It doesn't fit our way of life anymore. It doesn't fit our scheme of things. And so we're just going to, just let us live the best we can. Let us go our own way. And God's going to judge that attitude, and God's going to judge those that kind of thought. I believe God will judge America because of ungodly lifestyle. Ungodliness is everywhere. It's a Hollywood style of lasciviousness and Hollywood style of morality. Well, I don't want their kind. God bring judgment. That's the generation in which we live. That's where we are looking back. We're maybe in that first generation or second generation, and we're looking at that third generation. How in the world have we gotten to where we are? How is it that you can go just a few years, and now we are literally scared to death to enter into the doors of a schoolhouse? How have we gotten there? It's because we've forgotten the Lord. It's because we have turned our back upon the righteousness of our God. Back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it was very important to a family that they had children. They wanted children. They didn't consider whether they could afford them or not. Now we have to tally out and say, I can't afford to do this. A lot of you all are from large families. And so that was that generation. They wanted children. And now we live in a generation when people don't want children. And we live in that generation when they will destroy that child just because they don't want that child. God's going to judge. God's going to judge a nation that kills his children. God judged many countries because of their way of life and because of their slaughter of the innocents. You remember in the Old Testament, when Moses was born, what was the decree? Kill all the male children. When Jesus was born, what was the decree? Kill all the male children. And now we're killing male and female both. I had a teacher in college said, if you look in the scripture, every time God's about to do something, remember, God doesn't move on our time frame, but when God's about to do something, men kill children. And that's true. Multiples of children have been destroyed. I forget what it is now in our country, but if you look at a scale or a graph, you'll find the number one killer in America is not heart disease, it's not cancer, but it's abortion. And I call it a killer because that's what it is. It's not a disease, it's a sin, and it's a killer. You think God's going to look at that and say, well, they just didn't understand? No, we all have the understanding. We all have the hearing. We all have the word. We all have the message. And may God help us. I believe God will judge us for the slaughter of the innocents. I remember when that court ruling came down, I was just in school, just a kid. I remember people talking, so, the courts will never allow that. Same thing with Bible reading and prayer. Judges would never outlaw God. Wow. They did. And now we have a secular society. The word secular means without God. We have a society that is without God. It's not because he has moved out, it's because he was thrown out. It's not because he doesn't want to be there, it's because they don't want him there. And God will never push his will on any group of people. He may bring judgment because they won't accept his word, just like these two foundations, these two men. They both heard, they both listened. One took heed, one did not. One house stood, one house fell. And it's all because of the choice that they made as they were building. The slaughter of innocents. I believe God will judge America just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe God will judge America because of the lifestyle that people have. The Sodomites are not only become socially acceptable, but they have also been the ones that blame God for their problems. Well, God made me this way. Don't blame God for your sin. Don't blame God for everything. It's like the Lord is the reason for all of this sin in the world. I believe God will judge. If he doesn't, then he did wrong by Sodom. If he doesn't judge because of murder, then he's done wrong by generation after generation. Debauchery and reprobate lifestyle. And God has a lot to say in his word. Now, that's why the word of God is hated, because it tells truth. It opens the light. It shows us where we are in our generations. And by the way, every one of those generations I gave this morning as examples, every one of them have their faults. We're not perfect. Every one of them have their destructiveness built in. But as it continues to go on and on and on, that generation that follows is always worse than the generation before. And God brings judgment. I believe he'll bring judgment upon churches because of their spiritual lukewarmness. They just really don't care. They're just neither hot nor cold. They're that group of people that just don't want to make a stand, don't want to be known, don't want to be talked about. Just let me stay over in my corner and I'll be okay. No, you won't be okay. Because God knows where you are. God knows what heart that you have. And so I believe God will judge America for those that spiritual lukewarmness. Somebody said, wonder why a lot of people are not getting saved like it used to be. There's a whole lot of things going on to keep that from happening down through the years. I still think, in my own heart, I still think one of the most damaging things in America was the acceptance of evolution. It brought us down to the point of we're no better than an animal. And that was in the 20s. And all the trial and all the hustle bustle, and now it's accepted. It's accepted as truth. It's not a theory now. It's just accepted and taught as truth. And nothing could be farther from the truth of God's word than the thoughts and the teachings that are propagated by evolution. Evolutionary thought destroys mankind. It destroys man's ability. In the beginning, God created. And when you change that, you've changed the whole scheme of things. When you change the truth of God's word into a lie, oh, it may be acceptable and it may be easy, and mentally, intellectuals may work it all out, but it doesn't change truth. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, the Bible gives us truth. Jesus was truth. That's why Pilate said, I find nothing wrong. I find no fault in him. And so we find we've gone from that believing in God to say, well, maybe it could be this way and possibly could be that way. There's the evolution that is given to us by our thinkers and our so-called intellectuals. Then you have the spiritual intellectuals that say, well, maybe God created it all, but he let it progress by evolution. That theistic thought, theistic evolutionary thought, is so foreign and so wrong. I had a teacher in high school that, man, he and I stayed in trouble all the time with each other because I would not accept what he said. I would not write the answers on the test. I would not do that because I knew what was right. And I went to his house one day, and by the way, he was a preacher. Oh, he was a Baptist preacher. I went to his house one day, and we discussed it a long time. I went there as one of his students. And we discussed it a long time. And he finally admitted to me, well, God probably created it all, but he just let the process of evolution take over, and now we have what we have. He was a theistic evolutionist. I just didn't know the term then. I just said, you're wrong. And so we find that time, now it's accepted as truth because of teachers like him, because of people that deny the very word of God. And God brings judgment. I'm not saying he's lost. I don't know his spiritual condition. He's still living. I talked to him the other day, not too long ago. And we still disagree.
God will judge America because of her lukewarmness, not standing totally for truth. And I believe God will judge America because of liberal, compromising churches that will not stand. The local church has become more like the world every day. You go in a quote-unquote modern church, you might find out that the ceilings are black and they have their flashing lights. You sit down in their theater seats because they've done away with their pews, and they sip their coffee and they do all the things that the world does at a nightclub or a dinner club. And the fellow that stands behind the pulpit, all the bright lights are on him. He's the star. And he introduces other people that become stars for a moment, and they perform. And then we wonder why America's in the shape we're in. Wrong generation, wrong ideas. But the local church has become more like the world, and rather than the world, becoming like the church. Compromising pulpits, dead. Ritualistic. And God's not the least bit impressed with what we do. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death, destruction, deterioration. And we're all taking that trip. But I'm looking forward to one day that we're not going down anymore. We're going to be taken up to be with the Lord. And in our text, in our verses this morning, if we'd have kept on reading, we found out the Lord still had compassion on them. Thank God He has grace. He'll fix what's wrong. He can take care of that little segment of population, that people that will believe Him, that people that will build upon a foundation. He'll work for them. He'll serve them. He'll be their Lord. He'll be their master. So may the Lord help us tonight to realize that we're living in wicked, terrible times. But thank God there's a ray of light at the end of the tunnel. And it's called the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming. He's coming to some as a thief in the night. They're not expecting Him. They're too busy doing their things. They're too busy playing church. They're too busy in their religious activities. Again, they may be saved. Can you imagine the next generation of churchgoers that are being trained now in our country? Finally comes the point that there's no salvation because they've forgotten the Lord that made them. What we are to do as believers, as truth that's been given to us, we're to stand. We're to make the ripple in the water. We're to make the struggles. We're to stand for our truth and our hope in the Lord. Even though we may be called mentally ill. Even though we may be put and locked in a dungeon. That's happened before too to Christians because of what they believed. We may be crucified. We may be killed. We may be destroyed. That's happened time and time again. But it was to people that stood, and people that stood in their generation against the ungodliness of society around them. May the Lord help us to be that generation that stands and builds our house upon a solid rock. Let's stand together tonight.